Thank you, Bobby, for filling in this morning. Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. Before we begin, I want to have one more prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we want to say thank you for allowing us to be here. We want to say thank you so much for all the blessings you've given to each one of us. I pray again that you would just anoint my lips. I pray that you would fill this place with your presence. Fill this place with your spirit. Help us to see you and hear you and speak through me and empty me of myself so I can be filled with you too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we live in a lonely world full of sinners. So lonely, in fact, that our own Surgeon General back in 2023 put out a publication called Our Epidemic and of Loneliness and Isolation. I imagine everybody has felt some of that in the last 5 years here. Five, six, 7 years. Some statistics I found were that 12% of the people in the U.S. say they have no close friends. 12% of the United States has no close friends. The average amount of time that we spend with our close friends has on average dwindled down to 4 hours a week. 4 hours a week spent with close friends. 30% of Americans report experience loneliness on a weekly basis. Globally, one out of every six people has experienced loneliness weekly. And this loneliness has adverse health effects. It can lead to depression. It can lead to loss of sleep, anxiety, and even early death. Loneliness often comes because it's tied to shame and unworthiness. Maybe you feel too broken to go to church. Maybe you feel too sinful for God. But let me introduce you to one who has broken down barriers, every barrier, just to let you know he wants to be your friend, and that's Jesus. Christianity begins with a friend who moves toward sinners. Let's dig into that Romans 5, verse 8 again. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What's the definition of a friend? Let's hear some answers from the congregation. Somebody that'll listen to you. Somebody that wants to spend time with you. Someone who's there when you need them most. Exactly. Merriam-Webster defines a friend in several ways, but the one we're going to focus on is one attached to another by affection or esteem. If we notice the way Paul writes here in Romans, when did God demonstrate his love for us? While we were still sinners. So Jesus' friendship is not reactive, it is intentional. He doesn't wait for repentance to show love. Through the cross, God publicly declares that sinners are worth pursuing, that the unworthy are worth pursuing, that the rejected in society are worth pursuing. We're reminded in 1 John that we love because he first loved us. In this great controversy, there's another perspective, though. Satan, in Revelation 12, verse 10, is called, anybody know? The accuser of the brethren. He tries to separate us from God. He tries to separate sinners from God, and he uses guilt to isolate. He says, you don't belong. Maybe come back when you're better. You know, you don't even have a place here. I mean, you can look at the story of Job, how he tried to point out his failures and his faults and tried to convince God that he wasn't worth saving. Jesus, on the other hand, he draws sinners to himself. He uses grace to heal. He says, "Stay with me." He says, "I came because you're sick." He says, "My grace is sufficient for you." He says, "I'm preparing a place for you because I want you to be there. And if I go to prepare a place for you, what am I going to do? I'm going to come back so that you can be with me in paradise." Turn with me over to Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 13. Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 13. I love this little, this shows how Jesus loves and befriends sinners. At this point, this is where we meet Matthew, Levi Matthew. Mark 2, verse 13 says, "Then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, 'Follow me.' So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him." So let's pause right there and remind ourselves who these people were that he was acquainting himself. What did it say? Tax collectors and sinners. Now, tax collectors, there was another story in the Bible about a tax collector, right? These tax collector types weren't very well liked by the Jewish nation, were they? Why was that? They liked to pad their pockets, didn't they? With the money they collected, they would often charge extra. So these were not people that were well liked by the general populace. And these are the kinds of people that Jesus was eating with this day. Reading on, "And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, 'How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?'" You can just see them almost getting physically ill just thinking about it. I mean, sinners, tax collectors. Continuing on, "When Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick.'" I love this part. "I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Excuse me. I can just imagine those scribes and Pharisees thinking how scandalous that was. But it's a scandal of grace, friends. "He shares a meal with the outcasts of society." I'm going to read a little excerpt here from my commentary. "Jesus is portrayed as associating with the morally and ritually imperfect. Because of the tax collectors' close interaction with the Roman government and their extortion of their own Jewish people, they were not only viewed as ritually unclean, but placed in the same category as murderers and adulterers. The term sinners included more than the morally imperfect. Anyone who did not adhere to the rigid standard of ritual purity was a sinner. Thus, all the poor and common people were classified as sinners. These Jesus associated with. These he called to be his disciples." Let's reread Jesus' response here again in verse 17. "When Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I am come to call the right, not, I am not come to call the righteous, excuse me, but the sinners to repentance. In stating the profound truth of the purpose of his mission to earth, Christ revealed the hypocrisy and fallacy of the Pharisees in their attitude toward Christ's association with tax collectors. If these men were such sinners as the Pharisees claimed, they must be in greater need than other men. Were they not then the very ones for whom Christ should put forth his best efforts? He had come to save men, but if he were able only to save those who were already righteous, he could not be truly a savior. The test of his mission as the savior of men turned on the point of what he could do for sinners. You know, Jesus wasn't embarrassed to be seen with those people. You know, there are sometimes human friends we have here that they're okay to associate you with, you're out of the public view, but as soon as you get in, I don't want anything to do with you. Not Jesus. Proverbs 17:17 tells us, if I can get there, Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Jesus loves before we repent. Jesus loves us during our struggles. Jesus loves even after a failure. We contrast that with our human friends. Our human love here often has limits, does it not? Jesus' friendship does not. In Matthew 28, we are reminded of some of Christ's last words, and he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you always. Jesus doesn't love from a distance. His presence, he's present there with the addict in relapse. He's present there in our deepest doubts, in our weakest moments. We're reminded that transformation happens in companionship, not condemnation. Look at Paul. In 1 Timothy, in his letter to Timothy, he reminds us that Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He calls himself the chief sinner. As we remember, what was Paul's goal early in his life? He was trying to crucify, or he was trying to eliminate the Christian movement. He was out to kill them. Who knows how many people he had killed? And if Jesus can save Paul, if he can befriend Paul, he can befriend any one of us. Satan says, you're beyond hope. Jesus says, you are exactly who I came for. Isaiah 41 reminds us to fear not. I'm going to read that one too because I like that one. Isaiah 41, verse 10. I'm sure you may be familiar with this, but I'm going to read it anyway. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God speaks to those afraid to come close. He says, fear not. Friendship with Jesus replaces security, replaces fear with security. Going back to our scripture again, Romans 5:8. Jesus experienced abandonment so sinners like me wouldn't have to. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. Satan isolates sinners, but Jesus entered isolation and to redeem us from it. You know, he also wants us to go out and befriend others. He wants us as a church to be a place of tables and not tribunals. He wants us to be a hospital and not a showroom like the Pharisees and Sadducees who put their good works out on display. Jesus is not ashamed to be called our friend. He says, "You are not too sinful. You are not too far away. You are not too alone." Jesus is still a friend of sinners today. I want to share with you another little music number here. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest. Lay down, O weary one, lay down your head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was so weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Behold, I freely give. The living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. Yet my thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. Oh, I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, your morn shall rise, and all your days be bright. I looked to Jesus and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of life I'll walk till traveling days are done. I came to Jesus as I was weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made be glad." Jesus is asking you today, will you be my friend? Will you show my love to others? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the love that you have for us, and that even in our sinful state, you reach out to us. Even in our sinful state, you love us, and you're not afraid to be associated with us. We ask that every heart this morning accepts your grace and your love and shows that to somebody else this coming week. We pray this in Jesus' name.